Welcome back for another evening of the Thursday, another session rather, of the Thursday evening Musar Shir, and we are beginning CD 11. This is number 7 Shir for Shara Nova. On the top of the page, on this paragraph upcoming, we're going to find out the advantages of a person being an Ovar, and at the same time, we're going to be learning some very interesting insights into human nature. So on the top of the page it says, Mume Ho'anova Nishkach. We're on page Lamed Hey. I'm sorry, Daf Lamed Hey. Mume Ho'anov Nishkachim. If a Anov, a person of humility, has any defects or shortcomings, they are Nishkachim, they are forgotten. In other words, they will not last in the minds of other people. Why? Machma sha'olam rotzim bichvodo. Because the people, the masses, those people who know this Anav, want him to remain an honorable person. And this is insight number one into human nature. It seems that the Aruch HaTzaddikim is telling us that for fear of causing this Anav to lose his honor, nobody speaks about his faults. So it seems that although this person may have faults, like the average person does, still, when we hear about the faults of an Anav, we quickly forget them. Why? Because if we would remember them, he would be lowered, his stature would be lowered in our minds, and that we cannot bear. Now that's a lesson seemingly in human nature, that although I do see a fault, although I know he has a fault, still I want him to retain his honor, and therefore his fault will be forgotten, which of course is a tremendous advantage. That, listen, let's face it, gentlemen, we all have faults, and since we do our faults, well, do we want people to be aware of our faults or not? We'd rather people not be aware of our faults. We certainly, if they are become aware of it, we'd like them to forget them as fast as possible. So the way to have that happen is to become a humble person, because if you become a humble person, people, although they may see your faults and hear about your faults, they will quickly forget about them. In other words, generally speaking, we look for, we find, and we remember the faults of other people. That is human nature, generally speaking. If a guy has a fault, I'm going to find it. And if he has a fault, I'll remember it. And even if he loses the fault, I'll still think that he has the fault. That's the way we are. The exception to the rule, says the Aruch HaTzaddikim, is a person who's humble. If the person I am, quote-unquote, judging and viewing and looking at, even though he has a fault, and even though I may see the fault, I'm going to forget it. Why? Because his esteem will be lowered if I remember his fault. And somehow, the human nature is, the chiddush here is, in the Aruch HaTzaddikim, is that I don't want the Anav to lose his stature of honor, and therefore I'm going to forget about the fault that he has. That's the chiddush of the Aruch HaTzaddikim. Chiddush number one in human nature here in this paragraph. Let's continue. Vigam, Ozra of Rabim. Of course, he's going to have many Ozrim. People will help him. A person's a humble person. Somehow, if you know he needs help, he's building a sukkah, he needs help transporting something somewhere else, a humble person, we're going to want to give him that honor, and therefore we're going to want to help him. So that's another advantage of being a humble person. Amru Allah al echad min ha-malachim. He tells a story about a king, a regular king of flesh and blood. Many of his, I guess, servants, people, in his government was sitting before him. And he himself, the king himself, he got up from his throne. And he sort of fixed and he altered the candle, the way I guess they would keep the house or the palace lit up. It was with a candelabra of some sort. And I guess it was getting bottom lowered. It was the flame was going out, or the oil had to be replaced or filled up. He himself got off of his throne, and he took care of the candle. Amru lo. So the servant said to the king, he says, Lama lo tzivanu? What do you, why? How come you did it yourself, Your Majesty? How come you didn't instruct us to do it? Omar Lahem, he said to them, and gentlemen, listen to the answer. He said to them, Melech Kamti, when I got off of my throne, I was a king. And guess what? Umelech Shafti. And when I sat back down on my throne, I was still a king. Now, what does this mean? When I got up, I was a king, and when I sat down, I was a king. We would imagine that fakert. When you're still on your throne, you're the king. If you get someone else to do it, that shows you're the king. If you get up from the throne yourself, that seems to lower the stature of the majesty, of the kingship. And here the Aruch HaTzadikim is telling us, fakert, that the king says to them, no problem. The same king I was when I got off of the throne to take care of the candle, the same king I am when I sit down again after I fixed it. What is the pshat here? Gentlemen, the pshat is, I think, Azoi. The pshat is, if the honor that a person has is imaginary, is not real, then if you do something which is quote-unquote beneath your dignity, then of course you're going to lose the dignity. But something which is intrinsic honor, it doesn't get lost. It doesn't make a difference. You can get off from the chair. If the person who we're dealing with, in this case the king, and this applies to us, and this applies to the Anav, if the person knows his intrinsic value, is there any problem if he goes and he, quote-unquote, lowers himself to do some menial work? No. Because only if it's an imaginary, it's a made-up kind of honor. Oy, Gavald, you see a person who so-called is honorable and takes a shovel and starts digging a ditch? He must be, as a Zhulik, he's one of us, he's a bare peasant, he's a layman. But if what the person is intrinsically honorable, if that person is a chosh of person dyed in the wool, so to speak, it's not going to make a difference. You know what they say? The place where a chosh of a person sits becomes honorable. He can sit anywhere. Rav Moshe Feinstein would walk into the room. So we would imagine, Rav Moshe Feinstein sits in the head of the base mattress. Guess what? If Rav Moshe Feinstein would take a seat in the middle, that seat becomes chashuv. Everybody from that point on is going to want to sit in that seat. What do you mean? The middle of the shul? The middle of the base measures? How honorable? No. Because Rav Moshe's honor was intrinsic. So the fact that he sat in a regular seat doesn't diminish from his honor whatsoever. It travels, it goes with him. So that's what the king said. So the fact that I took care of the candle myself doesn't make a difference. I was a king when I got up. When I sit down, I'm still a king. V'yomru, listen to the next mila, the next chiddush. Kol mala miskanim ba b'nei adam chutz min ho'anava. We envy everything about other people except for humility. We don't have any envious feeling, jealousy, towards an anav. Amazing insight into human nature. Why is that? If I see someone else is an anav and I am not an anav, maybe I should be jealous of him and I should feel envy towards him. And you know, once there's envy, there's hatred. Usually that's the way it works. Gentlemen, think of it this way. Why do I feel envy and slash hatred towards other people when he has a nicer car, when he has a nicer house, a nicer suit? Because the guy with the nicer house is looking at me and it comes across in his body language or subtly in some way that, I have it and you don't. But when you're dealing with an anav, what is one of the biggest milas of an anav? A person who's really humble makes you feel great. He makes me feel greater than he is. So I'm going to be envious. I'm only envious of someone who I think has more than me, and therefore he's better than me. He has a bigger house, always more chashuv, and I want to become more chashuv, so I want his bigger house, and therefore I'm envious of him. But if, when I meet this anav in the street, I walk away feeling like $1 million, because a true anav is a person who makes you feel chashuv. You go over to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and you say Shalom Aleichem to him. Wow, you know the Shalom Aleichem you get back? Oh, was macht ihr? You know, in the second and third person, how are you doing? And he makes you feel like you shake his hand. It's like, wow, he has nothing else to do. I will tell you that the conversation that I had years ago with Rav Schacht that lasted approximately 40-45 minutes, I will never forget that conversation, of course, for many reasons. But I will tell you that I felt like $1 million. That's the way he made me feel. He made me feel like I was the only person in the world that existed at that time. And he was the Gadol HaDor. He had the problems of the world on his shoulder, and still he made me feel like $1 million. So I'm gonna have feelings of jealousy, of envy towards him. No, that's another lesson in human nature. And further, Amru, at the end of the paragraph, he says, "Mishehu nivze beinei atzmo, gadol beinei acher," a person who views himself in a lowered fashion, he is looked upon by others in a greater fashion. If I walk around, a person walks around with a chip on his shoulder, and you know what I mean, with his chest out and his nose up in the air, right? As I'm talking Yiddish, mit nuz oven off, right? There, guess what? Other people are going to look down at him. Who does he think he is? Right? That's our reaction normally. Get a load of this guy. He looks like he owns the world. Right? But you have a person who's an anav, a true anav, who's humble, who sort of like humbles himself to others, lowers himself to others, and he walks around, you know what I mean, as if he views himself in a lowered fashion. Others view him in a higher fashion. Now, Chas v'shalom, this doesn't mean to say that a person should look down about himself, because then you have start having problems with self-esteem, low self-esteem. That doesn't mean I'm a gornish, I'm a nothing, you know what I mean? That doesn't mean that. It means that I understand what I am, and I understand my talents, I understand my faults, and I understand my advantages, and at the same time, I understand. Number one, in comparison to my potential, I have a long way to go, and certainly in comparison to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have a long way to go. You know, so a person has to be very careful with this anivus business. You know what I mean? Don't look in a mirror and say to yourself, you're ugly. You're ugly, good for nothing. If you look in the mirror, you see you're good looking, you say you're good looking. You admit the fact that you're good looking. It's just that a Kaddish Baruch Hu gave you looks. It has something to do with your doing. That's fine. So, let's be very careful with this. When he says, Nivze Be'inei Atzmo, he's lowered in his own eyes. That means vis-a-vis his relationship with a Kaddish Baruch Hu and his potential. Not Chas V'Shalom that he feels as if he's a nothing. Because if you feel like a nothing, guess what? Yetzirah will have a party, because as long as you're a nothing, might as well do whatever I want you to do, because you're a zhuluk anyway. You're garnished anyway. Hey, a garnish? Hey, garnish does everything. Okay. There's a concept of cheshbon ha-nefesh. Cheshbon ha-nefesh means that before a person goes to bed at night, he should make a cheshbon, he should make an accounting of how his day was. But it's extremely, extremely important not only to write down on that list, or at least to contemplate on that list, the bad things that we did during the day, but the good things I did during the day. And gentlemen, let's remember, there are many, many good things that we do. If a person davened in the morning, and if he went to the minyan, and he put on tzitzis, and he put on tefillin, and he kissed the mezuzah, and he said hello to his wife properly, and he did a chesed during the day, you start making a count, you're talking about it could be in the hundreds of good deeds that we do during the day. And if people, that's a good deed, you're going to tell me it's an obligation, it's a mitzvah, fine. Not everybody does it. So it's something which I accomplished today, and I have to view that, I have to understand it. It's just at the same time, I have to remember that I have a while to go yet. And in comparison to my potential, you know, something I have to keep on working on it. But chas v'shalom, once a person finds himself looking down at himself, then it's party time for the Yetzirah, because then he sees that you view yourself as a gornish, a zhuluk, and a zhuluk, you know what I mean, might as well do anything anyway. You're a zhuluk anyway, so act like a zhuluk. Okay, that's why self-esteem is extremely important. Ah, now, there is humility, like every midah, gentlemen, every midah can be used in the wrong fashion. So to humility at the wrong time. Ah, ma shetzorach laharchib midah zos. But we have to be careful to distance ourselves from this midah of humility. Shelo yehi anav benichna lufnei harishon. Never should a person be an anav, humble and humble himself before a rasha. V'alze alma hakosav, and about this it says in Mishlei, Mayon nirpas umokar moshchos, tzadik mot lufnei rasha. A tzadik who lowers himself before a rasha is considered like a polluted spring and a muddy fountain. Imagine what, why, and the Meiri on this pasuk says that when a tzaddik lowers himself to the wicked, his wisdom becomes polluted. Literally, something happens to his wisdom. Now again, anytime we make mention of the word Russia, we have to be very careful because we don't throw around this term Russia. There are very few people in history who are referred to as Russia, Esav HaRussia, Haman HaRussia, you know, very few people are called Russia. So just because the guy took your seat in the shul, doesn't make the guy a Russia. Even though, you know, to us, anytime somebody slights us the wrong way, you're Russia Marussia, you know, you're Russia Marussia. That makes the guy a Russia. Why? Oh, so let's be clear. We're talking about a person, a nonav, who lulls himself against an Esav. Wait, we'll take care of it. And if you have the ability, you have to be very careful with this gentleman. Yikom min harashom l'chvod Hashem. If you have an opportunity to take nekama against this real Rasha for the honor of Hashem, you should do it. V'yachzik mitzcho kenegdam, and strongly oppose them. V'yamor aleim ka'ari noheim lahatzil hanigzol min ha'gozel, and to stand up against him like a roaring lion coming to save someone who was robbed from the hand of the thief. V'yore b'nei odom avodas ha'kodesh baruch hu, and that same anav should see to it to teach the masses, the divine service, v'yochichem b'chol chocho, and reprimand them to the greatest amount of his ability, kefi chachmaso, according to his understanding, his wisdom. Batchila b'nachas, and he says, first try to do it, to reprimand b'nachas, calmly, v'im lo yoil, and if that doesn't help, and be careful with this one, yach limeim, embarrass them, shame them, v'yitzavi malato v'yasir minara, instruct them on the good and warn them against the evil, v'piv with his mouth verbally, uvoshono with his tongue, v'yacholto, according to his ability, v'yamar l'kachas dine olakim yimisha chayiv bohem, and if a person is obligated chayiv to pay money, and must meet an obligation he doesn't, you have to mete out justice, v'lo yikone, v'lo yishofel bozeh, and never humble or lower yourself when doing this. Now, we have to clarify, especially the point when he says, yachlimeim, embarrass them, shame them. You have to be very careful. I heard a very important thing from a great man who I understand is going to be in our community Sunday, Rav Matisho Solomon, if I read the sign correctly. Rav Matisho Solomon, I had a personal conversation with him about this issue about when you're reprimanding, should you be careful, how careful you have to be about embarrassing a person in the process. And he said, the purpose of reprimanding someone is to improve their actions. The only time reprimand will help to improve the person is if the recipient of the reprimand has respect for the one who is dishing it out. We live in a generation, unfortunately, that we don't have that level of respect, so shaming him is worthless. And it's not going to help one bit if a person does it, because we don't have. So this business of shaming people and embarrassing people, and certainly publicly and even privately, it doesn't make any sense. It's not going to accomplish the goal. Yeish odanova shehiro min agaiva. There's a kind of humility that is worse than haughtiness, worse than gaiva. Koinyan shosu nevi'e sheker. Gentlemen, what does this paragraph remind you of? He says, like, there were people who were false prophets. They used to clothe themselves in the same clothing, the same garb as the real, true Nevi'im prophets, so the masses would follow them because they look like the prophets. Like it says in the Pasuk of Zechariah, you're not permitted to wear clothing that are they are made out of hairy kinds of material, in order to deceive people, because the real Nevi'im would wear these kinds of clothing. Therefore, there are people, he says. Tell me, who is he talking about? Please don't say it all at once. People who conduct themselves in terms of how they dress with humility, and they speak softly, and they go about their daily routine as if they are the chosh of tzaddikim and chassidim of the world. So people will believe them, trust them, and rely on their words. And they will flatter where flattery is not permitted. Meanwhile, they are very deceptive in secret. And they only fulfill the mitzvahs of the Torah publicly, but behind closed doors, they rob our minds. That means they fool us. Elu heim chalalim Hashem Baruch Hu Yoseh mikol hageim. These people go on record to be the kinds of people who are committing a chilul Hashem more than a bal gaiva. Veim gormim, and they cause the following: Sheina olam maminim latovim. The masses will therefore not believe and have trust in the good ones, the good Nevi'im. V'heim nechshodim ibn ebi adam. Those good Nevi'im are going to become suspicious in the eyes of others. Why? Sheyomru, because the people will say, Shema elu heim koelu. Maybe these real guys, quote unquote real guys, are like the bad guys. So who knows the difference? If you know of such a person, you have to publicize it. And let it be known. Like it says in the Gemara Yuma, we're supposed to publicize those people who flatter, because of the Chilul Hashem. And Rashi on this Gemara says, why is it a Chilul Hashem? Because when Hashem ends up punishing these bad guys, people will say, what good are their merits, thinking that they are really good? So you see, it causes a chilul Hashem, because in the eyes of the people, you get all mixed up. I don't know who's good, I don't know who's bad. So you have to publicize the fact that these guys are a bunch of fakers. By the way, we have that when Avraham Avinu was traveling with his nephew, and Lot's shepherds were stealing, and they were being blamed because they looked alike. So Avraham was being blamed. So what did he do? He made a public announcement. It wasn't a public announcement that Lavan is an ogudnik. He moved away. So by separating himself, right? In my yamin vein and my small vein, if you go right, I'll go left, and so on and so forth. Why? He wanted to let it be known to the public. We're not the same person. This is the way he conducts himself, this is the way I conduct myself. Don't mix us up. Now, gentlemen, of course we can never point a finger at any one person, but we live in a generation, and I hate to say it, where, everything, kemat, everything is packaging. A person looks like a choshev, a person, in our eyes all of a sudden he's choshev. A guy walks in with a simple cap on, he's not wearing a kapota, mit weiße Socken, mit a streimel, mit a langer board, the whole business. Then who is he? But if he has this, now that, chas v'sholem, I don't mean to say that a heavy person with a choshev looking garb is no good, chas v'sholem. There are very choshev people out there who do look like that. But unfortunately, it's a lot of it is in the packaging and window dressing. And just because a person puts on the garb doesn't make him a chashuv person. And then when they end up doing things that they shouldn't do, or acting in ways that they shouldn't act, look what a chilul Hashem it causes. Wow, this kind of person, who I thought was Azon Son Azolach. Oh, and then it trashes all the rabbis, and it trashes all the Talmidei Chachamim, because people mix up the two. people and they don't know how to differentiate between them. Okay, let's continue. Lachain. Lachain. Hakitza. He's telling us to wake up. He says, don't weaken in removing deception and haughtiness from ourselves. Don't follow suit just because other people in our age group or our society are doing the same. We live amongst people, perhaps, who are balei gaiva and are deceivers. Not honest in business, chas v'shalom. And if you try to reprimand them, you know what they say to you? Mi o ish ein lo gaiva, come on. You know anybody doesn't have gaiva? Is there anyone around today that you know that Kaman is honest in business to the nth degree? Do you know anyone who's makbid, you know, to the letter of the law? Come on. What are you trying to tell me? Halo yesh kama b'nei yodam tovim gedolim mimeni. Guess what? There are people who are even bigger than I am. Ha'osim kach v'kach. And let me tell you what they do. Okay, therefore, esa kamosam. I'm going to conduct myself just like they do. And guess what? Whatever olam haba these people are going to have, I'll settle for the same olam haba. Wow, I got it made in the shade. Because, come on, I'm no worse than those guys over there who I'm viewing as, you know, okay guys. Hamachashvim kach. Listen to what the Orach HaZedikim says. Anyone who thinks along these lines, if this is your reasoning, hishtus she'ein dugmasa. He says, it's a foolishness which has no match. Moshal, and he says, I'll give you a parable. Pain of koavos. If a person begins to have pains in his eyes, you know, you're having a problem with the retinas, chas v'sholem, or a person is having a problem with his eyesight. And there's a man, or there's a doctor in town, or a remedy known to all that it works. There's absolutely no wisdom if a person would say the following. Lo es hashum refuah. You know something? I'm not going to visit the doctor. I won't take the medication. And if I end up being blind, no mabakach, that's vas. It's a big deal. I mean, after all, halo kamei from ba'olam. There are a lot of blind people in the world. Umashiyeh lohem yeh gamli. The way they live is the way I'll live. How gefährlich it is. Obviously, it's the biggest joke in the world. So here we are. It's amazing the insight into human nature. When it comes to a person's eyesight, it's obvious. It's clear as day. Nobody would ever think that way. But when it comes to being dishonest in business, even to the nth degree, even mamish, you know what the truth, gentlemen, we've discussed many times the truth. What does the truth mean? MS means the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And if a person says to himself, Nu azvas, is there anyone who is really honest? You show me one guy who's honest out there 100%. You show me anybody who doesn't cheat on their tax returns, right? Who in the world doesn't cheat on their tax returns? Come on, is there anyone like that? Don't kid yourself, right? And guess what? Everyone else seems to be getting away with it. And he's thinking in his mind, getting away with it means not only here, he hasn't been put behind bars, but he'll get away with it in the world to come also, because he looks like a nice guy. Davens 3 times a day, puts on tefillin, keeps Shabbos, you know what I mean? No, so he's a little shady in the business, as I was. Same thing happens to him, it'll happen to me. It goes on a regular basis. It's everyday occurrence, I hate to say, even within the most harsh of communities. This kind of thinking happens, no? So Orach HaZedikim is telling us, it's what a letzonus it is, what a joke it is. Finally, gentlemen, the last paragraph. Lachain, therefore, ayein alaf shecha v'shtalda b'chol kovacha. He says, make every effort, and he says, look into oneself. V'altitein einecha b'mishil amata mimcha b'malas ha'chokhma b'avodas ha'kodesh baruch hu. Never look at someone else who is on a lower madrega in Ruchnius. Because if you look down there, you end up being down there. Ah, Always look at someone who is greater spiritually. And try to pursue that person, to chase after him, to reach him according to your ability, in spiritual manners. About this it says, may we find out, may we know how to chase after knowing Hashem, Keshachar, listen to the language of the Pasuk in Hosea, Keshachar Nochon Motzo'o, it will be, the one who finds it will be like the Shachar, the morning, or the morning star, V'yovo Kageshem Lanu, it will become like rain to us, Kimalkos, like the early rain, Yore Oretz, that falls down on the ground, and the Meforshim say like this, gentlemen, it's an amazing thing, the Malbim on this Pasuk says, we need to make such an effort in this area of knowing Hashem, until it is clear to us, like sunrise. When the sun rises and you see the sun rise, isn't it obvious that the sun is rising? That's how clear it must be to us, the knowledge of Hashem, to understand. The Metzudas David says that just as when we see the morning star happening, we know for sure the sun is going to rise right after it. So too, a person has to be boteach in Hashem, that if they try hard enough, he will find the way to know Hashem. Because some people have this feeling in their mind, I'll never get there, I'll never get there. He's giving us a guarantee, the Mitzvah of it. If you try hard, just like the sun rises after the morning star, we are going to find the answer. And finally, the Mitzvah of it says, we will be blessed with goodness, just like the good we get from the rains that fall. Like he says at the end of the pasuk, Kimalkos Yora Eretz. Okay, gentlemen, have a wonderful evening. Amir Tzashem. We'll be on next week. We are on, correct? Yes. Okay, good night.